that costs you $1 in fuel to go on a trip, we have the question of how much does that actual trip cost? And the answer, surprisingly, just notionally, is 101 cents. Because you use the fuel to get up to speed, but you actually use your braking pads, which wear away, to get down from speed. So presumably you're going from 0 kilometres an hour up to 100 kilometres an hour, back down to 0 kilometres an hour. And this is a sort of a message to say that there's a sort of a hidden aspect to road travel in our lives, important, and that's braking. So this is Peter Hill Explains, and I'm discussing things scientific, and the previous podcast is about wheels, which is necessary to actually discuss brakes, because brakes are applied in our life to wheels. And in the previous podcast I discussed a little bit about wheels, about how wheels are stationary with respect to the road and they have static friction. The aim is to have static friction, and there's no power dissipated there. You have to have these things called brakes, which dissipate power inside them, which have dynamic friction. That is, the surface of a shoe and the drum. That's called. This is the little stopper and the thing that rotates. The stationary part and the rotating part have to actually slide against each other. And although we are quite clever, this has got a certain portion of the work done. So this is force over distance. So the actual force over distance in braking is the actual force which is applied over a distance, is only in dynamic friction. Friction occurs inside your drum or disc, a disc brake. And what happens is that there's a certain effect which doesn't wear down the brake. That is, a force is applied due to a pressure between the two surfaces, and that's adhesion, or there's another thing which doesn't necessarily generate force, but it generates cost, and it's called abrasion. That is, you wear down your brakes eventually. So some of the consumables you use in your journey are your petrol, but also that thin layer of metal used in your brakes. So I'm just going to discuss the emergent brake technology and discuss a bit about heating up of brakes and the friction coefficient. So really the first brake developed were drum brakes. That is, you have a wheel, and in the old days you used to have a piece of wood, and you actually put the piece of wood down on your carriage wheel to actually brake it. It was a physical horseshoe brake, was actually on your wheel, and this horseshoe would so in the old stage coaches, they'd have a lever, and that lever would push some sort of block against your actual wheel and stop it down. Now, there's certain things, obviously this is exposed to water and dust, although it's got a big surface area, and the force is transmitted through your cable, through your coach structure. There's certain, I suppose, disadvantages of it in terms of, I suppose it's not as efficient. But that concept is miniaturized inside your car with a drum brake. And so you have on the outside your brake pads come down on your rotating drum. And this is a certain advantages and disadvantages. One is that you've got a limited surface area. It's a sort of a complex shape. You've got a
curving shape of your brake pad. And the brake pad has a width and comes down and closes on it. But you're, in theory, you could keep on going down several centimetres of brake drum as it keeps on wearing it down to go in. And I don't know about materials and stuff like that, but this is a disadvantage in that your drum, the actual orientation, has a heat dissipation overall problem. What that means is that as you apply the brakes, the drum heats up more. This is just basically getting air into it and surface area. And as it heats up more, the coefficient of friction, your dynamic friction, changes. So what that practically means, you've got a heavy lorry load of rocks, and you press your drum brake, and if you slow to a complete stop, you're made, okay, because when you're at a stop, there's no motion inside your brake. So remember that your wheels at this point in time never skid. It's static friction on your wheels, dynamic friction in your brakes. But if they heat up, the dynamic friction inside your brakes reduces due to temperature. So if you don't manage to stop and you keep on going, the brakes will continue to heat up and the friction will reduce and you'll start to speed up again. I think the term for that is brake fade. So the problem with drum brakes, engineering, they're a bit easier, and also they're easier, they're sort of also harder to mount. We should say that applying the pressure to the brakes, there's mechanical things of the old days with stagecoats. We tend to apply it with a hydraulic fluid, which we called brake fluid, and a lot of students will know a lot about brake fluid, but so we have hydraulics, so the fluid itself is uncompressible, so you compress your brakes by pumping a hydraulic pump. Now, nowadays, I think there's electronics which then, when you press down on your brake, an electronic... I definitely know this because I had my foot on the brake while I was speaking to someone for a while, and they kept on back and chatting, and I had my foot on the brake, and then when I went to start up my car, the car was dead because I'd drained the batteries. So what happens nowadays is your car, you press on the brake, and it's servoed, and it pumps a little hydraulic pump to maintain pressure on it. But the idea is that you press on. Just again on hydraulics, there was another incident when I just took my car to an old Camaro car to a old Camaro is a Ford. No, it's a Holden, General Motors car from the 80s, which was produced in Europe and then produced out in Australia. So I took it off to the motor mechanic saying, look, the brakes really, there's something wrong with the brakes. And they said, no worries, mate, it's all okay. And I went along, and of course the brakes going up to a toll house failed. Unfortunately, I had the presence of mind to pump my brakes. That is, the fluid didn't initially go. I should tell this full story here. The fluid had to be pumped several times, so I, unfortunately, when I pushed through, it was just this feeling of no brake whatsoever. But then I pumped the brakes again, and eventually got it to stop just in time. Then drove gingerly off and visited a friend in a hospital. We left the car there, took the train home, and then the next day at work I phoned up our car service people and said, look, my car's broken down, could you fix it? And they said, right away, within 20 minutes, we'll be out there, it's an emergency. I said, what? And because I happen to be a laser physicist with a PhD, I came up in their system as a doctor, and my car accidentally was in this hospital grounds, and so they automatically came up on their commuter systems, and they came out there as an emergency to pick it up. That's a day later. That's the brake story, just to give you an idea of the fluid systems. And now the most advanced bikes have a hydraulic system to operate and close down on this system. Now, in the drum brakes, great design has the problem of fading. The shoes can come in. Look, there's lots and lots of little design features. They can be the drum shoes can be inside and push out of the drum or in on the drum. But what people know is there's such thing as a disc brake. So this is a disc of steel with holes in it for cooling. And it's designed for cooling, and calipers will come down, and I think on both sides, is my general thing, I think it would be a bit insane, at least in bikes, it's on both sides, and cars, I think it's on both sides, so it's a stable thing. The shoe will, I don't think it's called shoes, the brake pads will come down and engage with this, and now from my understanding that modern ones designed that when they wear thin they'll actually begin to squeal ahead of their efficiency drawback, so what will happen is that they'll start to make a sound, and the actual brake itself will eventually feel shuddery as you wear down the actual surfaces of it. And so that's disc brakes in cars, and sort of the other essential bit, you've got the engine speeding up and you've got the disc brake producing the so as the engine heats up to push you forward, all that energy goes up, heating up your disc brakes by having your discs as basically cooling fins rather than a drum. You can get going. So I think in bikes it's basically a disc, but in cars it's a plate where you push against the plate to do it. In terms of technological advantages, certain things I can think of. It would be great if you could apply by a process, just spray on a new surface. So there are new surfaces that you can spray on which adhere quite well. One is isotropic carbon. It's as strong as diamond. I don't know its wear properties. So this is pyrolytic isotropic carbon. You could do that. That's got excellent thermal radiation properties. So the entire thing is trying to actually get a material which can wear and also dissipate heat, and also report its wear conditions way ahead. So if you know. And also replacement at the moment. Replacement is difficult. So there's a whole series of inventions waiting out there to improve it. Like with so many things, like tire production and power tools, production of solar panels, that's all gone off. Holus bolus to China. It remains for us to actually sit around it and see if we can invent that next big
invention to come through. So what I wanted to do in this podcast is just simply talk about brakes as part of the car technology, and to alert people to it. Now, the brake technology, and this is in your course, is very important. You've got the dynamic friction. So one of the things is that you want to prevent your brakes from locking. So what happens is that your static friction is a little bit higher. So you'll notice within your brakes, you will, when you come to a complete halt, the brakes will go from the dynamic friction where it's moving till when it suddenly locks and closes together. So when you put your brakes on and you're stopping at the stop sign, depending on what sort of car, you'll hear this gentle rocking as it goes from dynamic to static. And now one of the things that you don't want to do is, when you're still moving, have your brakes go into that static friction thing, because your friction coefficient will suddenly drop. It's similar to heat fading, but the fading will be as your tyres get worn out on the ground. So an anti-locking system simply undoes, as you press on the brake, it limits the pressure you can put on the brakes, so you can't actually lock the brakes. A computer comes in and monitors the rotation and limits it, your rotation, your pressure, to be underneath the pressure necessary to lock the brake. So it's a bit counterintuitive. If you want to stop, you think, I press harder, but if you actually press harder, you will lock your brakes, and your brakes will no longer be dissipating heat. Your tyres will skid, they'll turn into a liquid form, vibrate, and actually no longer grip as well, because your tyres are actually not designed for dynamic braking. That is they'll start to jump, and so although you will press harder on your brakes, the actual braking will go downhill. So if you imagine a graph of the harder you press, the harder you brake. At a particular point, after you press that, the actual force on the brake will, the force of braking will drop. So a computer will intervene and stuff like that. And it's still possible to, I think I've got ABS in my Tarago. I think it's still possible skid in a Tarago. You can definitely do it around corners. I don't think you can do wheelies or do burnouts. I still don't quite know. I suppose a burnout is where you're accelerating, you're not engaging your brakes. So that's how the youth do various burnouts. So we've covered the braking system here. There's other forms of braking system, but that's where I wanted to get to. And to get to it, I've had to first give a long podcast on wheels, and then talk through brakes, talk through drum and disc brakes, heat and technology, and from that basis of a slightly deeper understanding of brakes, hopefully it may, for some people, spark a few ideas. They'll look at the brakes on their bikes and think a little bit more, brakes that they can see on cars, gain a greater understanding. This is Pete Hill Explains. Keep on teaching science and thinking science. Thanks for listening.